This is Useless Conversations with Kimmy
and Jess.
Hey.
Hey.
How's it going?
Pretty good. How are you?
Good. I'm doing all right. You know, always something to complain about.
Always.
Today. So, can I just say, my kid... I don't even know how to say this without sounding like these are, like, my problems aren't even real problems, you know, like I feel like I don't even have any room to complain because of the level of problems that I have aren't nearly as grave as the level of problems that other people right. have. So I'm preface this bullshit I'm about to complain about with that disclaimer.
Okay.
And on to some nonsense that matters not whatsoever. My kid is the most lily-fingered kid in the whole world. Meaning, I'm just not fucking kidding. Like, you know, you always want to give your kids like more than what you had. And it's like, I think we went in the way wrong direction there because we moved to the suburbs and we live in a very like middle America like lifestyle, and we're trying to give him this really great life. The kid, this morning I was like, we're gonna go outside, we're gonna do some yard work, you know, we're gonna get our hands dirty. He was like, I don't like it when my hands are dirty. And by the way, and I cannot stress this to you enough, I have already said to Zeb, it is not that we are incapable of doing yard work. We don't like it. It would be worth the money to have a landscaper come out once a month to clean our yard. Our yard is not that big. Like, just have them come out once a month. And Zeb was like, he was so close to letting me do it. He had two landscapers stop by. And then after they quoted, he was like, we can do it. It's fine. We'll just do it. And one of the guys was like, $120, I'll come out like for $120, I will come out once to twice a month per visit. It'll be $120 and I'll clean up the whole front and the back. And I'll do it. So, you know, if you need me once or twice per month, I can stop by, $120. I'll clean up the whole front and the back. You won't have to worry about a single thing. And my husband's like, we got this. We paid babysitters more than that. You've got to be joking me. And he's like, no, we can do it. It's fine. He bought a new edger that he used today that he didn't move the cars first, and he got mud all over both cars. I had to take both of the cars to the car wash. And I was like, do you want to stay here and help daddy? And he was like, he was sitting. This is the level of luxury that my five-year-old lives. Okay. I'm down in the dirt picking leaves out of like the bark of the beds where we have, you've seen it. We have like rhododendrons and like some other weird shrubs that the people who lived here before us planted. Yeah. I honestly would get rid of everything but the rhododendrons if it were like something I was interested in doing. Like I'm not going to dig those up, but the other plants are like weird and ugly and I hate them, but the rhododendrons are really pretty when they bloom. But anyway, so I'm down in the beds in the dirt in like just like an old pair of yoga pants and an old hoodie, and I'm like digging around trying to get all these leaves out of the beauty bark, and Zeb's, you know, going around edging everything and he's weed whacking and doing all this stuff. Ezra's sitting on our front porch in an Adirondack chair, drinking water, watching something on Zeb's phone. And I'm like, aren't you going to come down here and help mommy pick these leaves up? And he was like, I probably maybe don't want to do that, mom. And I was like, Ezra, s'il te plaît, please come help mommy. And he was like, that's probably going to be a no, mom. 35 years old and I can't figure out how to get into the mind of a five-year-old. I don't know. I was trying to incentivize him like, oh, if you come help mommy, I'll when we get inside, we can play video games. He was like, I'm gonna do that anyway. He like told me what he was gonna do. I was like, fine, Ezra, just do you, man. I don't know. So yeah, he just sat in the Adirondack chair, and then when Zeb got the cars dirty, I was like, do you want to just stay here with Daddy? You're gonna have to help him. And he was like, I probably maybe want to go with you to the car wash. I was like, okay. So I like took Zeb's car first, and I filled it up because he was down like, I don't know, less than half a tank. Yeah. And then we went through the car wash, and then we came back home and we switched cars. We did it again in my car. And Ezra loves riding in Zeb's car because he can eat in Zeb's car, but I don't let him eat in my car because it's the newer car of the two, and I just don't want like sticky, icky right, everywhere. I don't know how long it's going to last, Jessica, because I'm such a pushover for this little guy, but when we were in Zeb's car, he didn't finish the snacks that he had brought with us to like, run these errands. And so we went to go get in my car, and he started whimpering, and I was like, what? Because he's doing this thing where he's like not verbalizing, which I don't know if it's me trying to throw French immersion at him now. Or if it's just like a phase he's going, because he doesn't know, do I say this in English or do I say it in French? Do I say it in French? How do I say it? So it's really funny, but he's like whimpering, and I'm like, what's your problem? What's your deal, dude? And he was like, I didn't finish my crackers, mom. And I was like, well, you know, you can't eat them in mommy's car. And he was like, see you play. Like he literally just turned and looked at me and had like this teenage angst in his five-year-old face and was like, see you play, mom. And I was like, damn it, Ezra. And I was like, no crackers in my car. And he was like, I want to stay with dad. And I was like, then you have to get dirty. And he was like, I'm getting in the car. It's like the end of the conversation. He didn't have any more shit to say after that. But so today we went, I found a local piano dealer, but they're in Auburn and we're closer to Tacoma, so we had to go north. And I was like kind of texting with you trying to schedule like when we were gonna record or whatever. We went up there, and it was like this really weird shop where I can tell this guy is just like a piano fanatic. And it's a family owned place, but I had been talking to a woman who looked at she in her like photographs, she looks like she has children. And when we were there, he was acting very weird around Ezra, and he was like, yeah, I don't have children, you know, I have dogs. And I was like, wait, I thought this was like a family run business. And I didn't like want to say like, how are you related to Lexi, the person I was talking to? So it was kind of like a bait and switch where it was like a woman kind of was talking to me about selling me this piano. And then we get there and it's like this old guy who tinkers with pianos and is looking at my kid like he's the devil. So it was a very weird situation. I was really happy that we all went as a family, because I'm glad that Zeb was there. Not because the guy would have done anything, or maybe not. I don't know. Like, I didn't get that weird like feeling about him. It was just like he didn't like kids, you could tell. And he mentioned his dog a couple of times. And there was also like a dog's water dish there, like in the piano store. So I was like, he's one of these people who like his dog is his child, which is cool. Do you? Like, I'm fine with it. But like, you teach piano lessons here. Like, aren't there a bunch of kids running in and out of here? I don't know. So anyway, he goes, I think I know which piano you're talking about. I have it in the back. So he takes us to this back room. So the front room is full of like the beautiful pianos that people pay like thousands of dollars for. Yeah. You know? And then in the back room, he's got like these upright Wurlitzers that are, they're generally speaking, I hate to say this, but like a piano is worth what people are willing to pay for it, you know, but a Wurlitzer is, it's one of those rides the fence level pianos. Yeah. And I don't know a ton about pianos, to be very clear. I only tinkered and again, played the clarinet, wasn't a pianist or anything. Just tinkered. Generally speaking, they're smaller pianos, and they can range in like the quality of sound they produce depending upon the type of Wurlitzer that the piano is. So anyway, none of that is imperative to the story. He brings us to the back where he's got this Wurlitzer that he's willing to sell to us for $395. Now, I thought I was going to be able to haggle him down to about $300 because the person that I had been speaking to, Lexi, she made it seem like they had a lot of affordable pianos at this place. He was like, this is one of only two pianos I have at the $395 price point, and that's as low as we go. And if you pay in cash, it's $395, but if you try to pay me with your credit card, you have to pay sales tax. And I was like, Lexi, when I talked to Lexi, she said she was really flexible and she would be willing to like work out a deal. And so he was just like, took a hard line, and he was like, Wurlitzers do not sell for less than $395. And I was like, really? Because OfferUp is flooded with pianos. Like, I don't even know how to explain to you, Mr. Weird Piano Man. He was not a Billy Joel either, so it's not a Piano Man Billy Joel situation. This guy was just off-putting as fuck. And then, like, the piano that he brought us to that was $395 was decent, but it was very... So there's, like, a sound quality in pianos that you're looking for is something that isn't... I'm going to use the word tinny. Like when you play it, you don't hear this, like, it's almost like a thing. You remember when we were little and they had those little they were like xylophones, but you could press buttons to make from underneath. That's what I'm thinking of. And this, so the some of the Wurlitzers will sound like that, like it's like it's very tinny sounding, kind of like a play piano. But so that's the quality of the Wurlitzer he was showing us, had a bit of that like tinny sound to it. So I sat down and I played a couple chords, and then I, you know, did a couple little songs for Ezra. And then he's like, okay, well, what do you think about the piano? And I was like, you know, honestly, after your guy moves it for us, he said that his guy would move it for us for $200. Like, so after I buy this piano and your guy moves it for us, I'm over like $600. And Zeb and I had agreed on like $300 to $400 to buy and move a piano. And the guy was like, well, yeah, but you're getting such a quality piano. And I was like, I don't know that I am. And I just said it. And then immediately I was like, oh my God, I said that out loud to this weird piano man. And then Ezra comes over and Ezra just starts like banging on the keys. And I was about to be like, no, you can't, you know, don't do that. Don't do that. We treat it gentle. But then I was kind of like, I don't know. This whole situation's weird. This dude's weird. He's trying to run one over on me on this fucking tinny ass Wurlitzer. Like, just hit the keys, kid. I don't know. get in there. Fuck it. So he did. And the guy was kind of looking at him. And then the guy compared my son to his dog and was like, he reminds me of my puppy. And I was like, okay. So anyway, we're not buying this piano. Sure. Give me your card, I guess. And then we went out to the front portion of his shop, and he had another Wurlitzer out there that he was selling for about $700, and the sound quality was better. And then he had a third Wurlitzer that he had out there that he was selling for about $2,000, and the sound quality was epic. It was very like melodic, and the key weight was just right. It was like the key weight is a whole other separate thing that is hard to define. Like, it's certain pianos, the key weight is different. It's like when you're used to driving a stick, and then somebody says like, I'm too drunk to drive, why don't you drive my automatic? And then, like, you don't know how touchy their brakes are. You know, that's how it is when you get used to your own piano, because the keys are weighted. And so if you're playing like, so the one that we were looking at, the really tinny one, it didn't take much to get the note out, but the note was sort of like, it wasn't the best clarity or whatever. But then this one in the front that was $2,000, I mean, that thing played like a gem. But the problem is, just to be completely honest, like, it's not like I'm some kind of, specialty pianist or anything. I'm going to get this thing and I'm probably going to play just like basic, very generic things with it and teach my kid the same thing. So
not get like and, kind of a fancy keyboard kind of deal.
Well, so it's interesting that you should mention that, Jessica, because there's also like digital pianos that are essentially, it's shaped like a piano, but it's essentially like a keyboard that is the length of a piano. So it's got your full 88 keys. Mm-hmm. And so that's what we ended up doing, was we just bought a digital piano on Amazon for like $250. Yeah. And the shipping's free because it's Prime. And that's the thing is, like, I don't even know if Ezra's going to take to this. Yeah. And even if he does, he's probably just going to slap it around a bunch. Why am I gonna buy like an actual piano? Yeah. You know, it's, and if it's just for me and him, I don't know.
You made the right choice.
Yeah, and also it was still money probably down the drain, because I don't know how often this kid is even going to sit. Even if I get him lessons, I don't even know if he's going to like it. He's just a very active kid. So, I mean, comparative to, I guess, a puppy in the piano man's eyes. I don't know. I keep saying piano man, and then I think to myself, don't compare him to Billy Joel. He was weird. Like, Billy Joel's awesome. Don't do that. But yeah, I don't know. It was a really weird experience. Then I was like, I can't believe we drove all the way out to like this weird consignment piano shop to deal with this guy. He had like long greasy hair and like he was just a weird dude. And Deb was like, yeah, I thought that you said the person you were talking to was a woman. I was like, it was. I got catfished over a piano. He just started busting a gut in the car. He was like, only you would get catfished over a fucking Wurlitzer. Like, what is happening? Oh, man. It did. It totally happened, though. It was pretty funny. So, yeah, the morning was spent trying to get the child excited about doing exterior chores. And it was all for naught. And then the early afternoon was spent getting to this piano shop, taking maybe 15 minutes to look around at pianos, and then being like, bye, weird, creepy dude. And then we had to go to the shit show that is Costco. And I know that everybody knows this, because everyone else there is looking at you the way that you are looking at them. Which is to say, you're in my fucking way. Mm-hmm. You're such an inconvenience. Mm-hmm. This place is always so mm-hmm. busy. If it weren't so convenient to buy for my family here, this place would be irrelevant to our lives. Just, that is what it is. But there's so many people there who just, it just goes straight back to episode one. It's these people that you engage in these minute interactions with people in society where it's just like, holy fuck, how are you even alive? You're so, I don't want to be mean, so I'm not going to. I had like a whole thing, but I can't. It's too mean. It just is. I was behind this mouth breather and I'm like waiting for him to be done looking at like these pre-made, they have a bunch of stuff from their deli that they pre-make, right? And they had like these pre-made dinners, and there was one in particular that I was kind of eyeing, and then there was also like a Cobb salad, but it was like a big salad, not to get like Seinfeld with it, but it was a big salad. Yeah. And I was really excited. I was actually more excited about the big salad than like the pre-made dinner, but that's neither here nor there. It looked delicious. It had like egg and bacon and like all the things that you want on top of like just like a hearty bowl of greens and cherry tomatoes. Oh my God. I should have bought it. I didn't. It was too expensive. I was like, dang, Costco, what's the rate of inflation on cherry tomatoes? Right. I don't know. why is it so? I'll just make it myself. Right? I'll boil, you know, 5 eggs and cut them into whatever this is, and then throw some bacon on there. I don't know. Yeah, it's bananas. But anyway, he's just standing there, and he's just standing, and he's got his cart, and he's just blocking like a whole section of the prepared foods, and he's looking down. And, you know, it's a global pandemic, and we've been told so many times not to touch our face. And he's touching he's got his face mask on, but he's just touching his entire face with both of his hands and just going, I don't know. And I was like, oh my God. Oh my God. Get the fuck out of the way. Get the fuck out of the way. Like I'm just standing there patiently, just waiting, just standing patiently. Cause you don't want to be in anyone else's bubble. It's supposed to be like 6 feet apart or whatever. So it's like, I'm just standing there waiting for this guy. And then he walks away with fucking nothing. And I was like, you son of a bitch. And it was just minutes. And Zeb was like, come on, babe, let's just go. Trying to make it obvious. And the guy still was just like, Oh my god. I just want the street chicken tacos. Get the fuck out of my way. Oh, it was terrible. It was like, remember when you were here 2 weeks ago? We went to that. I took you to Metropolitan Market because we wanted to get dumpling. You wanted to try bao. Yeah. And I was like, let's go to Metmart because they'll have it there. I know that they have it. They have individual sized ones, which honestly wasn't the best place to take you for it, but like without taking my kid somewhere to try and get him to sit down to get you decent bao, like it just wasn't that dumpling day will come, but it was not that day. And we'll go get some dim sum or whatever. But anyway, so we went to Metropolitan Market, and then you remember that woman who just got like right in my space?
Yes, I do. That was so rude.
It was so rude, and she had pulled her mask down below her nose and was like, look, just got right in my personal bubble.
Well, then she
looked
at us like we were in her. It was like, excuse me.
Yeah. I'm literally standing. I'm standing in front of like the prepackaged fruit, trying to figure out like which thing of fruit to get for my kid, and I'm not taking more than like a minute. I'm not. It's this is not a hefty decision that I need to make. It's cut fruit. Yeah. What do you want from me, ma'am? And she just walks up and gets right in my face with her little, you know, attitude and pulls her mask down. And I knew she was pulling her mask down, so I would like move away from her. And so then I just turned and looked at Ezra and I was like, some people are so impatient, huh, son? And he was like, probably maybe. It was like passive aggressive way to tell that lady to go fuck herself. But yeah. That was crazy. But yeah, that's how Costco kind of is. It's like everyone's trying to keep their distance for the most part, but then you just get one of these Karens who just gets right, you know, right up in your shit and just doesn't care. How do you not care? Like, we're in the middle of a global pandemic.
We make a list going into Costco and we stick to it. Like,
you guys are better than us. I was pissed today. It's a good thing for me and for my Visa credit card that they take Visa now instead of just, what was it before? I think just American Express, because
at one point it was just, it's like they switch every few years. Like at one point it was just MasterCard.
That's right. Yeah. We did something for the first time. This is the first year of Ezra's life where he's going to have like a pre-made Easter basket. Cause we always do it. Like we always make a basket. And I just looked at Zeb and I was like, listen, between French lessons, I've got fucking my bachelor's degree. I'm doing the podcast. I work 40 to 50 hours a week. Doing all these things. I'm also working on a screenplay. I don't know why. It's never going to go anywhere. I have so many things that I have to do. I was like, I'm just not going to put together an Easter basket. And he was like, okay, you're sure? Like, you don't want to you don't, that's your favorite thing is to like put all the fun treats together in the grass and do all the thing. And I was like, fuck it, I'm done. No, I'm not doing it. So I did. I just bought one for the first time ever. My kids getting like a pre-made. I always felt bad for kids who got those because my mom always built ours, yeah. You know, constructed it with the little grass and whatever. And so I always felt bad for kids who got like the pre-made ones. And now I'm just like, no, those moms were just fucking smart. They knew what their time was worth and they weren't going to be fucking around with like edible grass. Whatever. That's what we did last year because, you know, the little like plastic grass, it just gets lost in the ocean eventually. It doesn't get recycled into anything. It's just terrible for the environment. It's microplastics. We're all just eating microplastics out here. It's terrible.
It's fine.
Yeah, I mean we're not dead, but like it's not great. What about you? Did my wonderful Aunt Kimmy build your Easter baskets when you guys were kids?
Oh yeah. I mean, until even like the last few years, like even in our adult, because she doesn't have any grandkids, so
yeah, she's like, well,
and now
still doing
I don't
this
know
shit.
What happened? But a few years ago, she just started throwing bags of candy at us, like our favorite bag of candy. Like, here, happy Easter. I was like, oh, where's my sweet Easter basket that I should be getting?
I know. Madam, I'm sorry, there should be trinkets inside of plastic eggs.
Where's my Cadbury egg?
I need a Cadbury egg, 2 peeps.
No peeps.
They're so good, Jessica. I know you hate them. They're so good. Did you see that Pepsi is making a peeps flavored Pepsi?
I did see that, and I don't even want to know. I don't understand what it would taste like. Is it like just like a vanilla Pepsi? I don't know.
The audacity.
I already don't like peeps, so it's really not a selling point for me.
I think it's weird. I mean, it's just like, you know, sugar covered marshmallow, and you like marshmallows.
Yeah, but I'm so. You want to go into this topic, do you?
I guess so.
So
you're the one who taught me to turn my Jet Puff marshmallows into taffy when we were little.
Yeah, into taffy.
Yeah, you just like pull it until it becomes taffy. Yeah. I didn't know that until you taught me. I think we were like 8 or 9. And you were like, well, no, just put it between your fingers. Look. Yeah. And I was like, holy shit, it's a new candy.
Only I used to do 2 marshmallows at once because otherwise it really wasn't enough for all the work you got to put into it.
You really got to pull that marshmallow. You just really got to put in the effort, man. But the juice is worth the squeeze on that shit. Let me tell you, because it's so good. I'll do it now. Even to this day, I'll just be like, you know what I'm going to do? Instead of just buying a jar of Jet Puff like a normal person. I'm just going to. Or some taffy from the bulk section.
Oh, yeah, so
shit ton of effort.
I don't like the texture of marshmallow, like just a plain marshmallow out of the bag. Like something about the
like a fluffy. You don't like that?
There's something about the texture that I don't love. Like it's not my favorite.
The delicious cloud.
But if you,
Jessica, what the?
But
fuck?
If you hold it over a campfire. And you roast it just right and it turns into the cream, then I love it. And the marshmallow cream out of the can, I mean,
the Jet Puff.
Yeah, who doesn't love that?
It's so good.
And there's certain candies, like, for instance, my mom likes Rocky Road candy bars, and those are just like a chocolate covered marshmallow. Like, I don't really love it.
Yeah.
But there's certain candy bars or cookies that I'll eat that have the marshmallow, but it has to be like a softer version or a fluffier. Like it can't be like a stiff I don't know. I just don't like the texture.
That's very interesting.
I know. You're welcome.
You're welcome. I do. I'm a marshmallow fan. I like a good at Christmas. I like a chocolate covered marshmallow shaped like Santa or whatever, you know, I'll just eat one of those. I do like marshmallow. It's really good for me. I've always been a fan, but One of the things that I really dislike about marshmallows is like the when the mini marshmallows, when you buy a bag of those and you throw it in your pantry because you're like, okay, well, I'm gonna, you know, at some point I'm gonna make some Rice Krispie treats or I'm gonna need this for cocoa or whatever.
Yeah.
And then you find it and you're like, oh yeah, great, because we're gonna have cocoa today because it, you know, snowed and I'm gonna be make things nostalgic for my child, like some kind of idyllic Norman Rockwell situation here. And you pull the mini like Jet Puffs out of the pantry and they're just a brick of stuck together bullshit. What the fuck is that?
I don't know.
When I put you in here, you were fresh and soft. It's been 2 months. You're rock hard and you're all stuck together. This is some shit, Jet Puff. We need to have a straight up conversation with Kraft. I need the minds that matter to come together and figure out how we keep these tiny marshmallows separated until it's time to make the cocoa. Just some nonsense there. It just always pisses me off. I get so uppity about shit that just does not matter. Like, that is not a thing that matters at all. But for some reason, I don't know. Anyway, what are you doing today? How's your day been?
I'm talking to you today.
Oh, that's dope. I'm here for that. Literally.
No, I had like an interesting week. Well, first of all, I was like, you know, that little cold and then like the allergies, and then I also ran out of my vitamins.
Yeah.
And so it was like, I just didn't want to do anything.
You swear by vitamins.
I swear by vitamins. And then when I found out they were delivered early, I hurried up and drove to the post office to our PO box, and right. I got them and I took them right away. And by the next day when I was taking them, I felt so much better. Like, I just,
you're like, yeah, this is my shit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They make me happy. And I'm okay with that.
I just, so the level that I'm at, I'm terrible about taking vitamins.
Yeah.
My mom used to make us do it whenever we felt a cold coming on, or like, just, I don't know. And then grandpa got into the supplement game for a while, which was really profitable for him. But yeah, I am so bad at it that I have to buy, this is so pathetic. I'm 35 years old. I have to buy chewable. I have to buy like gummy vitamins. And I'm not, I wish I was lying to you. I buy chewable daily gummy daily vitamins.
Hey,
for women.
As long as you're getting it.
And then I buy that my probiotics are gummies, my hair, skin, and nails gummies, my turmeric gummies. It's terrible. And like, so I'll search out the gummy version of any vitamin that I'm like, I need to get more of this in my life.
Yeah.
And then when I eat it, I pretend like I'm treating myself to something fancy. Like, oh, look at you. You got candy. Oh, I have to trick myself into thinking that the vitamins are candy.
Well, I'm not going to lie.
Otherwise, I don't.
I take the fish oil, and let me tell you.
I know, because when you were here, I said that Zebulon takes the same one. I've tried it. It's gigantic.
Oh, it's,
and it's
so
gross.
And you know what? I try. You know what's funny is, like, you can chew on a big piece of steak and swallow it and not have any problem. But then you put a vitamin and all of a sudden it's like the hardest thing to get down.
I know. I don't know. It's like some kind of like throat hesitation. I swear to God.
Yeah. It's a mind.
That's what she said. Sorry.
No, I was teasing my mom because, you know, I have a routine that I do when I get up in the morning, and it's just something that I do. I don't know, but I, you know, go to the bathroom, wash my hands, brush my teeth. I come out, I get my fresh bottle of water, and then I start taking my vitamins. And by the time I'm done with my handful of vitamins, I'm like not hungry anymore.
Yeah, exactly.
So I'm like, hey mom, I'm having my first breakfast.
Right. You're like a hobbit. You're like, but don't worry, I'll be ready for 11-sies.
Right around 9, I'm gonna be hungry.
Yeah, that's funny.
And I make myself...
don't you guys wake up really early?
I mean, I am a morning person.
I mean, listen, God bless. I hate the morning.
I mean, it's like
just so...
when I was at your house, I stayed up with you and Kitty until 3:30 in the morning, and then we got up at 7:30. And then I stayed up until 3:30 again with you the next night.
Yeah.
And then I think I was up by like 9 the next day. Like, I got no sleep when I was at your place, which is fine. Like, I'll sleep when I'm dead. That's cool.
That's how I feel about it too. Because Zeb, like, we've discussed this before and I've left it in. Maybe I'll leave it in now. Who cares? Zeb cannot not sleep. Like, I can have like two nights in a row where I just get like zero sleep and still function as a human.
Yeah.
Zeb cannot function. I need him to sleep. Otherwise I never hear the end of it. He cannot function as a human being if he does not sleep.
It's the craziest
thing to me.
I feel like I have different switches though. Like if you're talking about like work or something, I can really drag if I don't get enough sleep and I gotta work. But if you're talking about like hanging out with like family and it's fun and or friends or whatever, and you're just having a good time or it's vacation or whatever, man, I'll sleep when I'm dead. I don't care. I'll figure it out when I get home. Like, I don't need that much sleep then.
But that's how I feel too. But all of our vacations end up being very restful because that's like what Zeb wants to be doing.
Yeah.
You know, I'm like, let's go out and do X, Y, or Z, you know, the only thing that we've done since the pandemic is we went to this place in Issaquah where they have these beautiful like hotel rooms, but they're tree houses.
Yeah.
We didn't stay in the tree house though. It was way too expensive, but there was a room over like the main house that overlooked the river and it was cheaper than any of the tree house lodgings, and so we went there for our anniversary because it was like our 10-year wedding anniversary. And everything around it was closed. There's like nothing to do other than go for a hike by the river, and I was like, let's go for a hike by the river, it'll be great, you know. And Zeb was like, or, and this is just an idea, we can take a nap. So we took a nap. And I'm here for that. Like, it's fine. It's not as adventurous as like hiking next to the river, but it's a lot more restful.
Right.
But yeah, vacations with family is like we're up, we're doing things, we're gonna go do exciting things. Like when we go to the Oregon coast, we like get into some shit, you know.
Yeah.
But when I go with just Zeb or with Zeb and the kid, it's always like, how will we just all lay in bed and snuggle and watch this movie? And if mom and dad both fall asleep, that's what happens. Like, it's very weird to have a tiny human that you're responsible for. Because I remember we went on this amazing vacation to Puerto Vallarta and we slept so much and we ate just the most incredible food at this resort we were at, and then we went and swam in the Pacific Ocean, and God, it was beautiful, and the days were so warm, and that there were like 5 different pools at this resort we were at, and they all had just a swim up bar. We just swam over and you were like, another margarita, por favor. They would make me a margarita and I would always get 2 and act like one was for Zeb, and then I would drink mine and then I would drink Zeb's because Zeb's never had a drink in his life.
Right.
And so it was great because I was just like drunk most of the time we were there. I mean, that's not a good way to deal with a holiday. You guys should remember most of it. I don't know. It was a beautiful vacation there. We were sitting at a bar at the resort. The key is don't leave the resort. That's what they tell you. You should listen to the they that tells you that. We're sitting at this bar that was next to one of the pools. And all of a sudden I look over and there's just this tiny crab just like sideways walking up the post right next to me at the bar.
Yeah.
And so I stuck my finger out and this little crab just crawls onto my finger and down onto the back of my hand.
Yeah.
And he's just chilling there and he doesn't want to leave. And so I sat there and he was on my right hand. I used my left hand to drink my drink while we were sitting there. And Zeb's just eating chips, you know, doing his thing, having some water. And I'm just there chilling with this crab on my hand. And dude is literally just making himself at home. I mean, he's just chilling. He has no intention of going anywhere. So eventually I had to pick him up and like put him on the bar, you know?
Yeah.
And so I did that and I thought it was very sweet. And I picked him up and put him on the bar. And the bartender immediately like slapped a clear cup over the top and dragged it toward his hand and caught the crab in his hand and just threw it toward the ocean. And I was like, oh my God, my crab. I was so upset. Zeb was like, it's okay, babe, don't worry. I was like, it's not okay, you're a crabby.
No crustaceans of any color at the
no
bar.
Crustaceans of any color at the bar. I didn't, yeah, that was after my Red Lobster days, but I was so upset. I was like, my tiny crab, oh no. And it's really cool, like the hallways there are kind of like indoor outdoor, like they're covered, but they don't have doors at the ends. It's not like a hotel, it's just like this open air resort situation. And so there are these like little geckos running up and down the walls everywhere. Mm-hmm. It's fascinating. One of them got into our room and I was like, do we just like, I can't go to sleep knowing that the gecko's in here. So how do we get the gecko out? So then we had to like, so we opened the back patio door and we let the gecko out. And then we had this huge beetle fly toward us. And I was like, oh my God, that beetle is fucking huge. What are we going to do? And then Zeb was like, get the off. And so he used like the off that you're supposed to spray on yourself to prevent bug bites to like spray this beetle. And then we like slammed the sliding glass door to the balcony. Oh, and we saw it fall to the ground. And I was like, I hope he doesn't die. And Zeb's like, he's definitely going to die. Oh, but it was the most wonderful vacation, I swear. It was like everything was so relaxing, and they have like these huge, just like, I don't even know how to explain it, but they're like these canopied like outdoor beds. Mm-hmm. And you just lounge outside in this warm, it's like the perfect temperature, and there's this canopy above you, and like you just lounge on this bed in the sun with all of this like amazing fresh like sea air coming at your face, and you're just like, oh my God, I never want to leave this place ever. I want to stay here forever. And then you get back on the plane and you know the bitch in front of you reclines, and so then your fucking Bloody Mary comes right at you. Having a Bloody Mary on the plane because I had way too much tequila while I was in fucking Mexico. And then I got on the plane and paid $18 for one Bloody Mary and was like, well, this is bullshit. The lady in front of me just reclines it right into my tits. This is a nightmare. But yeah, the vacation itself was beautiful. But, you know, that was... We don't have vacations like that now because we have a child.
Right.
So you don't get vacations like that. There's never going to be rest again until my kid is 18 or goes to college, depending, whatever that.
Don't get rest.
I know. He's going to just, I love my son so much. There's nothing in this world I wouldn't do for him, but I screamed in his face earlier. So, I mean, it's just one of those things. So talk about your thing.
Well, I did a thing.
Ooh, do tell.
Well, last week we were t we were talking about
Oh yeah, I remember. Yes, you were talking about you dating.
yeah, and
I was
just
trying
to
to
be
put you, I was
clear,
trying to put you out there.
yeah, and just to be clear, I'm not dating.
You're not dating anyone right now.
No, I'm not. No, but I've had a lot of requests for me to do the online dating, and I said I would never, ever, ever do it, and yet I did
Oh yeah. We kind of talked about it this week a little bit.
So I'm
How
gonna
did it go?
so here's the thing. I'm gonna be brutally honest. But I hopefully don't sound like a terrible person either, because I'm just trying to be honest. But
Okay.
it is brutal out there. If
Yeah.
this is what dating has come to, I don't want to be a part of it.
Oh shit. This must
I
have
don't
been
know.
what you meant when you said you were saving the juicy stuff for me for the podcast, 'cause it okay, so how many dating sites did you join?
So originally, I just did one that I thought was kind of safer just because it's going off of people's profile on Facebook. Although
Okay.
I am aware people can make fake Facebook accounts. So, I mean,
Right.
how safe could it really be? But so I started there
But at least
just.
they monitor it a little bit
Yeah.
better than like a plenty of bit. Well, I
Yeah.
don't want to throw anyone under the bus, but they
So,
like, platform wise, I'm saying. I just
yeah.
but they do, I think Facebook does, they do their best to monitor and get rid of those fake accounts if they can.
Yeah. So,
So
I just kind of felt like it was maybe safer. I don't know. Maybe not. But it was also really convenient because I just had to hit a couple buttons and it kind of took the information from my Facebook and
right,
kind
and like
of just,
did it for you.
yeah. And I was like, I don't know what to put on there, and but Facebook did. So
Okay. All
that was
right.
convenient. So that's a plus there. If you're out there and you're looking, it is really easy on Facebook. Also with Facebook, I mean, if you want a high school reunion, if you're looking to find out what's going on with guys from high school,
That's
get
the
on
place to do
Facebook
it, huh?
dating. What's really funny is one of them liked me. And as soon as I saw his picture, I knew exactly who he was. And I was not interested. And I'll tell you why.
You ran the other direction.
Well, I don't think I went to high school with him. I think he went to a different high school, but I did start school with him around fourth grade. I know
Right.
we went to junior high together. I
Okay.
just don't recall if he went to our high school or not. I would have to look through some yearbooks or something that are packed away. But when we were in junior high, I have a lovely memory of him calling me a bitch.
Oh,
I know he knows who I am. We've gone to school since we were little. Like, I know he
little,
knows
yeah.
who I am. So that was really interesting. Part of me wanted to like him back and start chatting with him and like mess with him.
And then call him
Like,
a bitch.
payback. Yeah. And
That'd
then I
be
decided
funny.
that that's not me and I'm not a mean person. I'm not going to do that. So I just declined. Like, no thanks. I'm good.
Yeah.
So that was kind of interesting and funny. Like one guy I went to elementary school with, and I don't know that he went anywhere after that, with me. Like, no, I don't know that we went to junior high or high school together.
Sorry, the way you made that sound was like he never got past elementary. He was
No, I'm sure he did. I just don't recall him being around those places. He might have gone to different location. Different schools, I don't know.
Yeah, yeah, something. Yeah.
Something. So anyway, that's kind of funny just to see people on there from school that you know.
You should just start joining them all. And then so, you should share your dating experiences with us.
Oh, well, I
plan online dating experiences. I'm really excited to hear.
Oh, yeah, I'm going to share. So here's the thing. So one of my friends, after I was telling them what was going on, they said, well, not everyone's on Facebook. So maybe you're missing out. So maybe you need to pick another dating site to go on. And I was like,
yeah,
I did the Facebook just to like see what it was like. And it's just not what I want to do. And they're like, oh, but maybe you're missing the one because you're not on something that maybe there's a lot of people not on a social platform. So they talked me into getting another one. So I downloaded Hinge.
I don't even know what that is. What's Hinge?
So Hinge, so you have to, I had to do some background. I had to look into what the, because different dating sites mean different things.
Yeah.
And I don't want to put myself out there for the wrong thing.
Right.
I don't want like the hookup sites. I'm not, that's not me.
You're not trying to Tinder.
Yeah. And if you are, that's cool. They're out there. You can find them.
Do you? Yeah.
But that's just not for me. So Hinge is a dating site that is essentially it's an app that's meant to be deleted. They want you to find your match and delete it forever. That's their gimmick, you know?
Okay.
Unfortunately, most of the guys who are on the Facebook are on the Hinge.
Like they're they're spamming the fuck out of these dating sites.
So, also it's quite overwhelming when you first go on them because you get crazy notifications. Like I think within 30 minutes of being on the Facebook one, I had like 50 likes and I was like, what is happening? Like, this is a joke. So it's like overwhelming.
I don't know why you would think that's a joke. You're beautiful and you photograph very well. So I don't know why you would think that's a joke, but okay, moving on.
So I find a clever way to say hi. Then I ask some questions and I feel like that gives you the chance, the opening. I feel like I could run a business to help guys on the dating site. That's what I feel like I'm getting out of this experience.
Yeah.
So when a lady asks you a question and you respond, and then she asks you another question and you respond, and she asks you another question and you respond,
where's the back and forth?
Why are you not asking questions back?
Yeah.
Why do you not want to
get the back and forth?
Like, I really don't care if I get to know you. I'm just kind of curious. Like,
right.
So,
wow. That's interesting.
That's very interesting. Right.
Why are guys like this? Like, what is guys in the audience who aren't like this? Because I know we have some great single guy listeners, I'm sure. I can think of a couple, but this is a common thing that I hear from my other girlfriends who get divorced and then have to get back out into the dating world.
Yeah.
Not have to, they choose to, obviously. Sure. We all make choices. Some people decide they don't want to date. Probably the reason most women decide they don't want to date is because it's trash like this. But yeah. Who knows? I'm not here to say. It's neither here nor there. What I do know is that this is the constant response that so many of my girlfriends have. Like, this is the thing they say is like, you never get a decent conversation.
Yeah. Oh, they're and like one word answers. They're just like,
yeah.
Like, okay, here's my thing. If dating has come to this as a form of dating, and you know that this is how you're going to meet somebody, wouldn't you want to have a conversation back and forth to know, like, I just don't understand. Like, if this is how people are thinking the future is for dating, I don't know how it's going to work for anyone.
Right.
Unless there's something that you expect women to be doing in these like, I don't know. I don't know how you can show interest.
It's like,
in
what
somebody.
could even be the expectation, though? Like, they're not asking anything of you. They're not even responding to the question, really. So what's your favorite football team? And then they respond with whatever they respond with, and they don't ask you about yours,
right?
Or like, oh, what's your favorite brand of beer? And they say, oh, I'm a Miller drinker or whatever, but they don't say, and you?
Yeah, right. They don't,
like, that just seems like common courtesy to me, but what do I know, apparently?
Like, I don't know if they think that if they like somebody's picture and they like back, or they like, they don't have to talk, they can just go on a date or something. I'm not gonna just go on a date with some stranger I don't know somewhere,
right?
Not get to know them first. That's just me. Again, everyone's different. But
it's right, and also, just so we're clear, everyone, just do you. This is not a reflection on.
Yeah,
but I'm just curious, like, what guys think the response is supposed to be when they're not really like giving you anything to work with here.
Yeah, I don't know.
Like, what are you expecting? I mean, how are you expecting me to respond to nothing?
Like, I'm looking through the whole profile. There's a lot of things that you can tell. Like I said, I'm a read between the lines kind of gal.
Right.
There's a lot of information. Use the pictures. The pictures give you a ton of information. Whether you want to talk to them or not. To me, I mean, there's a lot of information. What do they say? A picture's worth 1,000 words?
Right.
So I look over the pictures. I read into the things that they're interested in. If we're not interested in the same things, like, what are we going to talk about? I don't know. So after
there's a plethora of things you could talk about.
Oh, I'm sure. I'm just saying.
But like, yeah, it's easier if you have at least something in common.
Right. So this could be a great business move. It has nothing to do with what I'm going to school for, but you know, on the
just
side.
Just as messes.
Yeah.
Just as messes. You clean up. You get them ready for the world.
Dating. Like, if you're really looking for someone, I will help you find someone. Because it's just a mess. Like, most of the time, like, the number one message I get sent is, hey, beautiful, what's up? Like, that's not original.
Or, like, some variation of...
Yeah. Man. I mean, it's very, very similar. And so it's like, you guys are all, I don't know if there's like a dating something out there that's telling you to say these things, but I would rather have you look and see that I'm into fantasy football and ask me something about that, or that I like football, or that I like listening to music, and you tell me what your favorite music is and why, and get a conversation going that way. Like, why does it just start out like that? Like, think of something cool. Now, don't get crazy with this now, because I did get a message that I was floored. I could not. So my dating profile, the pictures that are on it.
Yeah.
They're like.
The same ones from your Facebook?
Yeah. They're like profile pictures. They're like selfies of, you know,
right.
Generally, you know, shoulders up, you know.
Right. This is my face.
But anyway, so there's nothing, I don't have anything provocative. I'm not a provocative person. All my pictures are in mostly hoodies or t-shirts, you know.
Right. Yeah. That's your style. That's your go-to look.
Yeah. I'm kind of just a casual gal, you know.
Right. I mean, well, because you're going to be a nurse.
Yeah. I'm like a tomboy.
And so. I don't know. I wouldn't say tomboy necessarily, but I mean, you wear casual wear.
I wear casual wear, but I like.
So do I. I mean, my clothes are very just.
Dress up really nice too.
Well, for work, I do.
I mean, I have. I can. I'm not saying I don't or I can't. I can be feminine, but I am just kind of a tomboy. I like sports. I like to be comfortable.
Yeah. I like stand-up comedy and hoodies.
Yeah.
I don't know. But I do for work. Yeah, I do dress up. I have like a handful of dresses I like to wear, and I usually do like a black stocking.
Yeah.
I don't know. I
You get
just,
fancy.
I do.
I don't,
Yeah.
I
And
very
I don't
rarely
have to,
get
by the way. My office is very like, it's not that we're a casual office per se, but we're a very progressive office. So, I mean, if I really wanted to, I could wear black slacks and a blouse like every day and it would be fine.
Yeah.
Like, my boss wouldn't care. My boss is actually really, she's fine with, she actually is like, well, what, wear whatever you want to wear. But, you know, she, every day she shows up and she's stunting. So we gotta do, we can't just be like, you know,
Yeah.
her lackeys that don't dress nice. So we all try and we all get, you know, business professional. But I definitely take it a little, like a little step further where I do like, I don't know, a cute dress with some flowers on it and then some, you know, do some stockings and
Yeah.
stuff. I used to wear high heels, but I hurt my ankle, so I just wear flats. But it's a very Jessica Day, new girl, Zooey Deschanel wardrobe for the office. But my real life, like this morning, I was wearing a Rick and Morty hoodie.
In your real life,
And
your
then
work is your real
in
life.
I mean in my daily life when I don't have to go to the office,
Yeah.
I sit in front of the computer all day and I just like I read contractual law. You know, I do, I don't know, I kind of am the jack of all trades at my firm, but yeah, I love law, and so I just will sit there and read a lot of, you know, I help my boss read and write contracts, and I edit, you know, legal language. But in my real life, I'm kind of just a doofus who doesn't really, not very eloquent, and I look like a tomboy too. I would, if I were to describe myself, that's probably what I would say too.
Yeah,
Just,
I mean,
yeah,
not
just casual and.
crazy. I mean, I do wear a little bit of makeup here and there. I do, you know,
Oh, I wear makeup every, like I, that is, I wear makeup every day.
I don't
If
really
I'm not,
care.
wearing makeup, if I'm not wearing makeup, something is wrong.
Yeah,
I'm
I
like
still
not
don't care.
feeling
I mean, like if I'm at
in
the
a
hospital
rush
or
or
something
something.
and I'm around patients, I'll put a little bit on. But I also don't want so much on, like you're working hard, like that's a tough job at the hospital, and I don't want smearing makeup all over my face or melting it and have lines. I don't wear very much makeup anyway. But so I guess that's, I mean, that's an, I'm just kind of a tomboy, and I'm okay with that. There's nothing wrong, like I'm totally okay with that. I play softball, I watch sports, I wear casual
Yeah,
wear.
last week we were trying to figure out when to record, and you were trying to like navigate it around the March Madness
Yeah.
schedule.
Well, I mean, I
And
enjoy.
I was like, that's awesome. I was like, I haven't even looked at like the brackets or anything. Like, I don't even know who's playing who this year. Like, I haven't taken time to do any of that. And you're like, I gotta see Zag. I'm sorry. I gotta watch the Bulldogs, and then we can figure it out. And
Well,
I was
because
like,
that's a local
okay.
team and it's a big thing every year, and my dad enjoys it. I enjoy spending time with
They
my
place
dad
well.
and watching sports. Like, he gets me into things that I don't really love basketball. I don't watch it all year round, but for the March Madness, I'll get into it a little bit, especially if it's like a local team. I was rooting for our Eastern team. They made it this year and I couldn't believe it. So, they didn't make it, unfortunately, but
Yeah, well, because they were playing the refs. We already discussed it.
yeah. But
But yeah.
anyway, I do like sports. I like to play sports. I like to watch sports. I like to wear comfortable, casual wear. I'm also more of a modest gal. Like I don't, there's nothing wrong with that to me. I'm very modest. I got curves from a young age and it really bothered me and it just always kind of stuck with me to cover up. So I
I
don't
mean, I'm mostly dressed modest, but every once in a while I'll get the cleavage out. I didn't realize in high school, you know, I didn't date a lot. And then one time after Tolo, it was like a Tolo dance or like one of the winter dances. I don't know. I was hanging out with some guy friends of mine, and one of them, his name's Brian. I don't know where he is now, so I don't really care if I say his name. Plus, Brian is one of the most like common names.
Yeah,
there can be.
Sure.
But he suddenly like started cuddling with me and was like being flirtatious toward me, and I couldn't figure out, like, dude, I'm with you fucking 5 days a week at school. Occasionally we party on the weekends. Like, we hang out after school if I'm not working.
Mm-hmm.
What is this? Why are you doing this? And then when I got home and I looked in the mirror, I realized that the dress that I wore to Tolo showed like my cleavage. And normally I wore like band t-shirts, like t-shirts for bands that I liked.
Yeah.
And like boot cut jeans and Chuck Taylors. And I wore that pretty much every day to school.
Yeah.
With usually like a hoodie or whatever. And so it hit me like, oh, duh, because he's a boy and I have tits. Like, until that happened, until he was like cuddling with me on a couch in his basement, and like he like hip checked me a couple of times outside of the dance and stuff like that, I didn't realize that, like, oh, if I had just been wearing like V-neck tees this whole time, or like,
yeah,
girl shirts that show cleavage.
Yeah, I hate that stuff.
Who knows?
I know. I could be in an...
But I didn't hold it against him. He was, you know, it's, I guess, natural to see that. And I don't know. I'm not whole, obviously. And also, he was just kind of, his attitude was so douchey that, like, I never liked him.
Yeah.
But it was just interesting, the juxtaposition of, like, when I'm in a t-shirt that's like Pretty Girls Make Graves, which is a band that I liked at the time, and I still do. I throw back and listen to that sometimes. And like bootcut jeans, you couldn't care any less about even like being around me or being close to me or whatever. But then I wear like a dress to Tolo that shows off my cleavage, and suddenly he's flirting with me, he's talking to me, he's like got his arm around me on his couch, he's snuggled up to me. I didn't understand that was why until I got home and realized, like, oh, my tits are kind of out. All right, okay. That's, who knew?
Surprise.
Yeah, because I was always like that. I was always just very, like, I don't know. It was definitely all about the band t-shirts and jeans back then. Mm-hmm. And the Chuck Taylors, of course, were, you had to have those. But yeah, it was really, it was really interesting, because I think when you're a modest girl and like you are used to covering up,
yeah,
but then you have a reason to dress up, you know, and yeah, then you realize like, oh, this thing that's dressing up, and when I do that, I wear clothes that sort of show my curves or
yeah,
show my cleavage. Then all of a sudden you get this attention. You don't understand what's happening. I didn't understand what was happening.
Yeah, I just don't.
I was like, oh my God, what?
I don't.
Does Brian like me? No, he doesn't.
I just don't.
Your tits are out. The
attention. Like, I don't like that kind of attention necessarily. I don't like to draw attention to myself. So I think that's kind of why I've always covered up too, is because I've just kind of been the quiet one that doesn't. I don't know. And you know, it's really hard, especially living at the lake and still, I mean, being 35 and modest, even, like, first of all, for me to try to find a swimsuit is next to impossible.
Damn.
But it's like, even if you do find a swimsuit, it's still like very revealing looking on me. It may not be
right
to normal people, but to me, so it's like hard to find. And then I live at a lake where, of course, I'm going to be in a swimsuit. So I'm just very modest and I don't like to show a lot. Now, to
loop back around to the online dating.
Yeah, so I don't put anything provocative out there because that's not my personality. And I don't want that kind of attention. And so when guys look at my profile, I don't know if they're picturing another girl, like my head on somebody else's body. I don't know what they're doing. But I got a message from a guy. Oh my gosh. Okay. Guys, I am a lady on the street. I don't want nasty comments thrown at me. This guy said,
oh no, wait, just I'm trying, just give me a minute while I try to prepare myself emotionally.
I don't even know if I can quote it exactly, but I'll get pretty close. He said something to the effect of, hey beautiful, you could bring that ass and sit on my face as a face mask all day. And then he went somewhere from there, and then he said, so let's go get tacos and make bad decisions. And I was just like, are you...
Did he say he wanted to wear your ass as a face mask?
He wanted to wear my ass as a face mask. There's no pictures of my ass.
That's not... Wait, okay, that's gross.
Right?
But Jessica, I only have one question.
Yeah.
How were the tacos? <Shut up. laughs> Guys.
That's what one of my friends said. So when are you going to get tacos? Like,
that's funny.
I'm not even responding. I got rid of that guy. Bye.
Was it Aspen or Ruby? You're not gonna throw him under the bus.
I won't throw my friends under the bus, but
okay. But you'll tell me later.
Yeah.
That's
also
funny.
There's like,
well, whichever one it was, just so you know, I have the same thought. So, how were the tacos?
Stop. No, I just so I look at all the pictures, and one picture is plenty to show me something that you're interested in.
You don't need to keep taking the same.
Yeah, I don't need, you know, six pictures of the same thing over and over. I get that you like that. If you've mentioned that before and you have a picture of it, obviously it's something you like.
Give us some examples, Jess.
Well, for instance, I can't tell you how many fish I've looked at. I have probably looked.
Yeah, there's a lot of fishermen, huh?
There's so many dead fish. Like, I like to fish, and I have seen so many dead fish that I just don't even care anymore. Like, and also,
cool.
If you're gonna put a picture of a fish in and you're holding the fish, maybe you should take your wedding ring off before you have a picture.
And that's the dating profile. Fish.
Yeah, like if you're gonna put that out there, like I read between the lines, and you've got a nice wedding ring on that finger there, and I'm not interested. Bye.
Maybe they're divorced.
They could be, but like, go fishing and get some new fish pictures, guy. Like, is that your winning fish that you're trying to show me? I don't know.
Is it your prize fish, or you know?
I don't know.
Have you gotten the stacks of money?
Oh my god, stacks of money! One guy, no joke.
I'm rich on rich on rich, oh girl. What? You would love me.
Give me one guy. I kid you not, had a table full of money. He also had pills. He had blunts. He had, I don't even know.
Wait.
He had
cough syrup. Do you have cough syrup?
He had cough syrup with a drink.
So I knew it.
He had some Scissorp in there, you know, and I'm just like, yes. So are you trying to get a date, or is this how you get your hookup? Like, am I supposed to call you for something, or are you trying to date me?
Right.
I don't know.
He's on the grind in multiple ways, Jessica. He's a complex man.
Right.
So funny. Yeah. I think the moral of this entire episode is stop being a douchebag. Like, actually ask questions of the person that you have liked on the dating profile who is now talking to you. And maybe stop taking multiple pictures of the same thing on loop.
Yeah. Bye.
Bye.
I love you.
I love you huge.